tape projection.
Welcome to Taking On Sports, y'all. I am TD. That is Greg. Greg, how you doing today?
I am good today, sir. How are you?
I'm pretty good, pretty good. Just sitting here enjoying this playoff game between Cincy and Buffalo right now. And I guess that's a good place to start. We'll start the NFL playoffs. Last week, we signed off right at the end of that Buffalo-Miami game. The Dolphins put up a much better fight than expected. Then the Giants went on to steal one in Minnesota in a good game. Then the Bengals got more than they thought they would from a Ravens team without Lamar Jackson. We'll touch on the losers in a minute here. We'll move on to yesterday's action. The Chiefs beat the Jags. But Patrick Mahomes, a big story coming out of that one, is a high ankle sprain. That's big. How big is that for them?
You know, I guess it just depends on how serious it is. He finished the game yesterday, but you'd have to think next week playing either Cincy or Buffalo. I mean, you can't go with Henny. So you have to do everything you can to pad out there next week playing.
Yeah, no, you know. Chad Henny cannot be the man to take you to the Super Bowl in a full game. You know, we've seen him do it in relief.
A couple years ago when he ended the game against Cleveland. But Pat came back the next week. We saw him with that pretty big drive yesterday. You know, got the touchdown to Kelsey. I mean, that was pretty clutch. Considering, you know, probably didn't expect to play at all. Came in, got a good drive in. So,
you know,
in relief situations, he's nice. But yeah, the whole game, not what you want.
No, and yeah, that high ankle sprain. That's usually that's always a tough one. That's usually kind of a tricky one. Yeah, it's a tricky one that can either linger for a few weeks and really limit your mobility. It helped. Which foot was it on, his plant foot or his lead foot too? That's always I can't remember that. That's always a big thing too. And then one more thing to consider with that: if the Bills do pull this game out, it's in Atlanta, so it's on that kind of artificial turf, that field grass. Right. And not in the cold on the possibly like kind of frozen ground in Kansas City or Buffalo. So
that changes things a little bit.
Yeah, there are kind of a lot of interesting factors. But, of course, we got to see if the Bills can come back and pull this one out. Since he wins, that game is in Kansas City. But other game yesterday, the Eagles, Jalen Hurts went out and just wore out the Giants.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And that was when I totally missed. I didn't win Shaq Philly won, but I guess just with the uncertainty of how Jalen was going to look and just, you know, the Giants looked pretty solid the week prior. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought, well, you know, they might give him a little game there. You know, they're familiar with them, shouldn't be scared of them at all. And they got rolled from the start to the finish, just dominating fashion.
Yeah, and I think the big story about that is Jalen didn't have to do a lot. Definitely not a lot with his legs. And you know, he threw, a couple of scores, but they just leaned on their backs, and that defense really played well.
Really took it to the Giants.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a statement, everybody. I thought maybe it kind of soured on Philly in the last couple of weeks.
Kind of got told that they were soft, maybe not a good number one team. And honestly, you have to think based off just what they did to the Giants in the regular season and then also the Vikings. And then, you know, the Vikings didn't look that great in the wild card round. Even if it had been Minnesota, I don't know if we'd seen too much of a difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they will face a winner, of course, the Cowboys and Niners tonight. Your Cowboys last Monday ran all over, threw all over the Buccaneers team. What chance do you give them against the Niners later?
You know, I'm going to be – I'm going in pretty positive only – positive, but very I'm not expecting too much. I mean, just because of our playoff history there. But, you know, I think we did a lot – big statement getting not only the Tom Brady thing off our back last week, but just being able to win on the road. Yes, it's the Bucks, so not a very good team, but I think it meant more, of course, with Tom there. Today, just going to come down to not making mistakes. Can't turn the ball over on the road in that atmosphere. Can't give them anything. And have to have long, sustained drives. Got to start with that running game. We got out with that passing game early last week. The first couple of drives were kind of shaky. This week, you can't have those couple of drives where you're not moving the ball at all, quick three and outs. And have to sustain drives and build confidence early, because it's a completely different matchup this week. One of the best defenses in the NFL and a much better offense as well. So, but, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic. Let's call it that.
Absolutely. No, I think a big key too is they have to do the one thing that nobody's been able to do yet, and that's make Brock Purdy put the Niners on his shoulders and win the game.
Right.
The way Shanahan and has all his weapons and the way he designed that offense, Purdy's played well. You know, it's not like he hasn't had to do anything, but he's so well protected in that offense.
Well protected. But, I mean, he's had some – it's not like he's not doing anything. He's had some good passes. I mean, he's had some passes that have looked very, very good there. More than what you would expect, not only from a rookie coming in that situation, but a guy who was at the bottom of the depth chart, middle of the season.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Irrelevant, a third stringer, to start the year.
Last pick in the draft there. And, now it's interesting. I mean, we'll see how it all plays out. But you went from what you thought was your QB of the future to now you might have a quarterback controversy depending on how the season ends up. I mean, I'm sure they would like to keep it with the guy that they spent the big money on in the first round draft pick. But, I mean, if this guy takes you to the Super Bowl, I mean, can you just tell him, well, thanks for everything? But
yeah, maybe they got a good draft piece either way if they decide to hold on to Brock or if they decide to go with Lance and trade Brock,
The thing is we still don't know a whole bunch about Trey Lance because, right. I mean, what's it? He got hurt, what, in that
third game?
Was it against the Bears?
Yeah.
That nasty game in Chicago. I remember being real muddy, and we still don't have a whole lot on Trey Lance. So, know if he is going to be a good quarterback or, if they really whiffed on it or, somewhere in the middle. I don't think we still have a good idea on him at all.
No, for sure. Yeah. A lot of questions going to be asked of that coaching staff in the front office in the offseason, regardless of what happens.
Right.
All right. So right now we got the Bengals are up 14 in Buffalo with almost the very end of the third quarter, like less than a minute here.
And they have the ball.
And they're about to get the ball to fourth and two here. Wow. Unless Buffalo pulls out a fake punt in their own 20. All right, so possible Kansas City, Cincinnati, and then we got the Eagles. They'll be hosting. We know that either way. Who is your favorites? Who are you thinking to make the Super Bowl right now?
Yeah, as of right now, I mean, going into this, I thought it was Buffalo. But, Cincinnati pulls this off. I think Cincinnati goes in, and I think they can beat Kansas City like they did last year. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be like a comeback situation. I think that they're going to go head-to-head, toe-to-toe with them from start to finish. And, it wouldn't shock me at all. Right now, based on how they're playing today, and Joe has held his arm against the Chiefs, I would say the Bengals are my favorite to come out there, the AFC.
Yeah. What about the other side, the NFC?
On the other side, I would love to say my Cowboys, but, that too much of a homer thing. But just based on how everything's gone the last right now, it's hard to pick anybody but the 49ers at the moment, just because they've been dominating teams and they went in on a 10 or 11 game win streak right now and don't seem to be showing any weaknesses. There's not a whole lot where you can be that, well, this is what you can focus on, because they've just been crushing teams. So
I tend to agree with you on both counts. The Bengals just look, they on a big winning streak of their own here in the
Yeah,
they are. The AFC, you know, they didn't look great in those two games against Baltimore, but that's a division rivalry.
But that's a division game rivalry. Yeah. I mean, you knew even with all the injuries and no Lamar that your Ravens are going to show up last week. And honestly, I mean, Cincinnati's super lucky that Dobbs wasn't the one running the ball at that goal line situation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, don't worry. I'll get to that. But, yeah, no, I agree. I think maybe we might get a rematch at a couple of those 80s Super Bowls, the Bengals and 49ers. But we still do have another classic matchup, a Cowboys 49ers NFC playoff game coming up here in a couple hours.
A lot of history.
Between the two.
This was a strong rivalry when I was a kid. Kind of fell off for both teams for a while. But back to where it all started for the dynasty for the Cowboys in the 90s there. And ironically, it's the 30-year anniversary of that NFC title game, which back then, of course, was Candlestick Park. But 30 years later, not the NFC title game, but, you know, division run and on the road there in San Francisco, kind of where it all started. Similar situation. I mean, going into that game, I remember, as a little kid, I remember Dallas really wasn't supposed to win that game. I mean, the 49ers was there thing to win there, so that's hoping that 30 years later we can kind of pull that same magic and come out a winner.
Go in there. I mentioned we'll talk about the losers just real quick on every team, see how their season was, and I guess we'll start in Baltimore. We didn't mention they played a hell of a game, better than I thought they would. Tyler Huntley played maybe one of his better games in the Ravens uniform until that horrible, just a bad decision to try to quarterback sneak and jump, put the ball up over the top from 2 yards away. Of course, it's a quick side note. The biggest thing we learned from that is when the NFL stats Twitter account posted that according to the chip inside of the ball, he was 0.6 yards away. And everybody took, wait, there's chips in the ball? Why aren't we using them to determine first downs and touchdowns now then? I think that they slipped up there. So that might be a huge offseason thing. But
that might very well be. You're like, yikes, what? Mean we don't have to have these long delays of seeing where the ball's at?
Don't have to rely on a bunch of, 60-some-year-old guys and carrying chains down the sideline. As cool of a sight it is to bring out the chain gang, come on, let's update this. They can do it in soccer to figure out if a ball went, a centimeter over the line for a goal or not. We can do it in football.
It is 2023. Exactly. They got that with hockey with pucks.
We know you have the technology and you slipped up now. But so the game, like you said, and Dobbins, he came out in his post-game interview. There's no reason he shouldn't have got the ball there. They were first and goal from the two. And they went with a pass and a run to Gus Edwards and then the quarterback sneak from the two. And it was Huntley's fault for, trying to go over the top. It should have just been let his guys push him. But bad play call. A lot of Ravens fans upset with it. And then the next day, Greg Roman stepped down as the offensive coordinator. So maybe a new era for the Baltimore offense. Coach Harbaugh did say that he wanted to keep it a run-first team, which is fine. You can still lead with the run, but you have to modernize that passing game. Step one, if you're Baltimore, you got to sign Lamar. That's, you don't want to franchise him. You want to sign him, extend him. Step two, you need receivers. You need a number one receiver. They need a deep threat. I saw one mock draft that had them getting a Hyatt from Tennessee, which, that'd be great. You need that guy that can take the top off the defense. But regardless, whatever coordinator you bring in, they have to rework the offense. They have to modernize it. They have to realize that Lamar Jackson can run a pass-first pro-style offense like he did at Louisville. He threw for over 3,500 yards when he won the Heisman. He ran a complicated Bobby Petrino offense. He can make reads. He can sit in the pocket and then he's got great legs, but it doesn't necessarily mean he needs to be a run force quarterback. His best scrambles, his best runs are scrambles when he takes a defense by surprise, gets out of containment,
Exactly. But not only does it save, you don't have that run first option. It saves him a lot of hits, a lot of a lot of things that have caused the issues, where he's running first and then he gets blasted and he takes three or four of those a game. That's going to take anybody out eventually.
Exactly, yeah. Especially after the last two seasons. He's missed like the last 5 weeks each of the past two seasons. You need to take advantage of a generational talent you have and not blow it.
And we've seen where that goes. How, and I mean, he has all the, no matter what has been said, and you know, people, you know, there was some people like, well, why would he go on Twitter and announce before talk with the team? Or, you know, I know people are, some people are upset about that, but and still, he has all the leverage in the situation, because you look at it, you see where the Ravens were last year before he got hurt, where the Ravens were this year before he got hurt, and how things ended. I mean, it just shows you just how different a team it is and how important he is to be there. Like, that that has to get done no matter what the feelings have been. You know, if it seems like everybody's on a different page, whether that's true or not, you know, that's what the media is going to sell you, because that's what sells drama. So,
absolutely, yeah. And I've seen some reports that said he was ill, which is why he didn't make the trip too, you know, not want to infect teammates, which it's, you know, irrelevant at this point. But, yeah, so big offseason for the Ravens in their future. They seem to fix the defense with the Roquan Smith trade. I don't think Patrick or Marcus Peters will be back. That's probably a contract too big for them, but we'll move on. Let's see. Jacksonville, after their big win over the Chargers, they gave it some fight yesterday against Kansas City.
I mean,
but
they were in the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that fumble at the end there, that was tough. But
go ahead.
No, I'm saying they're definitely a team. If they just have to keep building on that, and not, you know, we've seen Jacksonville have playoff success in the past, and then they kind of, you know, sell everything or fall off completely for a couple of years, and you just got to keep that momentum going, build on what you have, you know, add some more weapons in there, and you know, they're a team that could be a very big contender for a while there, especially in that AFC South, which is not very, very good. It's one that they can definitely take over and dominate.
Absolutely, yeah. They have built a great foundation. Doug Peterson did a great job building them back up after the Urban Meyer debacle. They need to probably improve that line, get Trevor Lawrence some more protection. And you mentioned weapons. They have them. They could get a couple more. They have Calvin Ridley. Remember, they made that trade this season. He goes for his reinstatement meeting in February. If they're able to add him to that offense, that's huge.
That could be sneakily huge yeah. addition.
That's big. The Giants, another team that had a much better year than anybody thought. Brian Daboll should be coach of the year.
Definitely.
They're all season.
They have a lot to sign. That Adam Schefter tweet last night, I was like, wow, that's a lot of people.
They do. I think their two biggest decisions right now, do they roll with Daniel Jones? Did he do enough to solidify himself as their quarterback?
Yeah.
Of their franchise quarterback?
Saquon and
Saquon Barkley's a free agent. Do they sign him? Does he accept some type of hometown discount, or do they decide that he's going to be too much money and let him walk it and try to free up money to sign a number one receiver that they need?
A lot of decisions making.
Seattle, I think
they're in a really good spot.
Flash in the pan, or are they for real? I think that's the story with them.
Right. But I think they're in a really good spot, though. I mean, considering all the draft picks they have coming from that Wilson trade there, they still have their first-round draft pick. I mean, how bad the Broncos were this year, they're going to have a high first-round pick. It's just a matter of what do you want to do with that? Do you want to get your quarterback now, or do you think Geno can give you a couple years or add something else to it? So that'll be interesting to see just what direction they go in the draft there.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you keep Geno on the goodwill that he's built up and then maybe draft the later round quarterback and develop? Or, yeah, that's a interesting one to watch. Miami, I think the big thing there, obviously they got to fix their defense. There's some problems with that, but Tua is the big story. You know, is he going to play again? Is he really healthy? they came out and said, you know, coach said that he's going to be their starter next year. But is that the best thing for him?
Yeah, that's the best for anybody because just the amount of concussions this year is just. Yeah, you don't want to mess with that long term. And, you know, if he has a couple more next year, what was it? I mean, you don't want to see that at all.
No.
At the same time, looking at it from the Dolphins standpoint, and, you know, I know it sounds kind of ass because, you know, you're more worried about his health. But from there, I mean, do you want to spend more time with a guy who's going to be questioned more time? You don't know if he's going to make it through a whole season when you're on the verge of where you want to be. I mean, you have one of the top offenses in the NFL, but you have to win now. The window is so small in the NFL. Do you want to continue to take that chance, or do you want to find maybe something more consistent, someone you know that is going to be there, more likely to be there an entire season? Because we've yet to see Tua play an entire season. So.
Yeah, that's big. What does it mean if he does come back? Do they get some more O-line help? Yeah. To try to keep him on the thing. I saw something this week about maybe he needs to learn how to fall better, protect himself more. And then, of course, like we just mentioned, there's a question of should he even play, you know. So there's a lot for them to figure out, too, there. The Vikings, we'll move on to them. They are kind of a veteran-led team there. I think their question is probably, have they peaked? Have they gone as far as they can with Kirk Cousins? He's got 1 year left on his contract. I think he'll be like a $36 million cap hit next year.
Right.
Do they try to move on, or do they ride one more time with him? I think that's what they got to look at. Because they have the weapons, and, you know, they got Justin Jefferson. They can build around him. Dalvin Cook's even getting – he's approaching 30, which we know as a running back is –
it's hard. You know, it's hard to say there because it's easy to say – you know, Kirk Cousins is the problem. Yes, we've seen Kirk had some good days. We've seen him have some terrible. Nevertheless, then Kirk threw his entire time in the NFL. The thing you want to always make sure, though, if you're moving away from him, are you getting better?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big thing. Because he's not a terrible quarterback.
No, it's just he does make these kind of frustrating decisions, like checking down on 4th and 8 in a playoff game.
But at the same, the most frustrating thing, if I'm a Vikings fan, is I understand that the Giants went out of their way to take Justin Jefferson out of the game. But it didn't seem like he was on the field at all. You have to make ways for him to touch the ball, give him some targets, something. Like, that was crazy, just the lack of targets, the lack of – and kudos to the Giants for completely taking him out of the game, but – you got to do what you can to try to make him relevant. I mean, he's arguably the best wide receiver in the game right now.
That's the offensive coordinator's job is to
figure out how to
scheme the defense. Yeah.
Because the last couple of weeks of the season, it seemed like he had totally disappeared in that Green Bay game. That Green Bay game, the last game of the regular season, they won, but he wasn't really relevant, and he definitely wasn't relevant in that playoff game.
Move down to Tampa Bay. Of course, their big thing, Tom Brady. Yeah, they got a lot of questions. They got to fix that pass defense. It's bad. They got to address the run game and offensive line. Yeah. And the biggest Byron Leftwich was let go.
And that's a tough situation because, I mean, you have it where, you know, now they're saying Tom Brady's not coming back. And you know that he was the guy calling all the shots there, whether Byron was offensive coordinator or not. We know how that works with a veteran such as him. And for them just to – I mean, Byron had been successful up until this season. And it may have something to do with it, but to completely basically say, oh, it was on you this season, yikes, that's a tough out.
Especially, you know, they're not really in position to make a high quarterback draft pick.
No, they're not.
Do they try to sign some free agent? You know, where do they go with their offensive coordinator position? Yeah. Does Brady retire? Does Brady end up in Vegas or New York, as some people have said?
Right. And there's been some rumors that he already told the Bucks he wasn't coming back after the game, for whatever that's worth.
But. Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah, and also one. The Bucks. I mean, you got to look at it too. Yes, it's Tom Brady, but do you want to go through that again next year? I mean, that was
exactly
just everywhere, and it's not going to get any easier. He's not getting any younger. I don't know. So a lot of times
during he finished, I think, third in passing yards in the NFL this year. But yeah. A lot of times that offense, they looked out of sync.
Or
yeah,
they're absolutely average. And you know, especially you look at it last week. I mean, the Cowboys for the first half of the 3/4 of the season was really good defensively, but the last month and some, they had given up a lot of yards to a lot of teams, and they made the Bucks look pretty bad, and that says a lot, I think.
And then we'll move. I think the last eliminated team, the Chargers. We've already kind of seen what they've done. They also let go of their offensive coordinator, and their problems were right there in that game they played. One, they only ran the ball 6 times in the second half with a 27-0 lead. That you got to run the ball more. You got to be able to run the ball more.
Exactly.
As many touchdowns as Austin Eckler scores, they're actually not a good running team
at all. Most of the receivers, that defense,
yeah. And they got to stay healthy. They're just kind of one of these teams that just kind of snake bit by injuries a lot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they couldn't keep a wide receiver healthy to save their life.
No, yeah. Do they go after some speedy receiver, too? They don't really have a true deep guy either. They're a lot of big possession receivers. Right. But, that's it for the eliminated teams. Right now, Buffalo down 17 now, about a little under 11 to go.
Not looking good.
I think if they, if they get eliminated, I think their question is just, what's the missing piece to put them over the top? Obviously, I think Von Miller being hurt has been huge for them on their defense. Josh Allen isn't completely healthy from that elbow injury.
Right.
But,
that's one of those situations because they're right there. But, yeah, if they don't do it again in another division round L and come into the season, I mean, they were clearly the favorite. It just leaves a lot of questions, and that's a tough situation because you have to pick, what is the exact thing to focus on. Mm-hmm. When you're close, it's kind of hard to determine that at times. But. I think Von Miller comes back healthy. I know Micah Hyde in that safety spot since he got hurt. I know that was a big loss. I mean, if they both were to come back healthy next year, but.
We'll see. They just have that. They need to find that, what gets them over the hump here in the AFC. All right, we can move on from the NFL now. Corner blitz.
Is that a fumble?
We'll move on to some Alabama basketball here. And then, Greg, did we talk about the Darius Miles news break before or after the episode?
It was after.
Yeah, it was about the first thing, I think. Immediately after we stopped recording, of course, big news that Alabama player Darius Miles, who before the game Saturday was announced out for the season with an injury, was arrested on capital murder charges. A young woman lost her life in Tuscaloosa last Saturday night. Horrible situation all around. Early reports from the investigation say that he provided the gun that was used in the murder. He has been dismissed from the team and the university. Just a horrible situation. Of course, all the focus is on that young woman's family, her little child.
That's tough.
Real tough. Alabama on the court. Went and got two tough road wins in places that haven't been kind to them in Vanderbilt and Missouri. And looked good yesterday against Missouri. Finished strong.
Yeah, finished that first half. Started off a little like we've seen in the past there in Columbia. Mizzou came out. That was a high-energy crowd. 15,000 considering it was the Chiefs' playoff game too. I mean, they really packed the place. It was a good atmosphere, but yeah, we definitely, answered the bell late in the first half and then carried that over into the second half for a pretty, dominant win there. They had I guess they had that one stretch where they cut it from 21 to 13, and then we kind of closed it out after that. But yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, we'll just keep on going. That's all.
Exactly, and that's what we're watching. This week they have State at home. They've beaten them once. They beat them on the road earlier. Then the Big 12 Challenge, they go to Oklahoma next Saturday. The Sooners not as strong as they have been.
No, man, not as strong. But, you know, it's still a place we slipped up a couple years ago. We went to Norman in that Big 12 Challenge. Completely different situation there. Not even the same coach or anything. But, we can go in there and get a strong statement win. Against not a terrible team, but I guess what kind of a middle of the pack Big 12 team. But I mean, Big 12 has taken over as a top basketball conference. I know a lot of people still think it's the Big 10, but personally, I think it's been the Big 12 for the last couple of seasons, just with how, even the bottom teams there, any night, they can give you a game there. And the top teams we've seen have handle their own. Of course, Kansas, a defending national champion. So they're, top to bottom conference there.
Well, and they win national titles, too, for all the talk about the Big Ten. The last time they won a national title was Mateen Cleaves in Michigan State. That's a long time ago.
2000, yeah.
But Alabama not just fighting for one seed now, fighting for the number one overall seed.
Yeah.
Kansas slipping up a couple times this week.
And, Kansas got crushed yesterday at home. TCU took it to
TCU,
them.
TCU, yeah.
And Lawrence and the other, early in the week, classic game there against their in-state rivals, Kansas State there. So took two L's in the week, didn't even have to leave the state.
tough
week for the Jayhawks. But we'll see how they rebound. But I'm sure they'll be fine. They're, it's Kansas. I mean, they've had some slip ups in the past, like that. I think even last year they lost two or three games there in the middle of the Big 12 season, and we know how that ended up. So.
Yeah. So Alabama fighting with right now Houston and Purdue.
Yeah.
For that one overall seed.
I know Houston was in a fight earlier today. I kind of lost track of it. I think they're playing UCF.
I did not see that. We'll check that here while we talk. We can move on to the NBA, not much to talk about. Nothing real big going on. LeBron did hit the 38,000-point mark.
That fight.
The Shannon Sharp trying to take on the whole Ja Morant's dad and the entire Memphis Grizzlies team.
Hilarious stuff.
Very hilarious. And I'm not sure. Look, Shannon's a big dude, tough guy. He was a physical big tight end in the NFL. I don't know if you want to take on Steven Adams.
Yeah.
As a big, tough Aussie dude. Yeah. That's not a dude I want to smoke.
That was funny stuff there. It ended up not too terribly. I mean, John's dad and Shannon were laughing and shaking hands after it. I mean, that's kind of what you want to see after that. I mean, it happens in sports. People get after it. Tensions run high. It ended up being handled okay there, so.
In the news, Houston fell to Temple today.
Yeah, it was Temple they were playing.
Temple at home,
number
too.
One.
So Purdue, they did hold on to beat Maryland. So it looks like Purdue will probably be your new number one team. Alabama will be number two. The ghost of the big dog, Glenn Robinson, pushing Purdue through.
Yeah.
That's a 19-1 team right there. That's a good team too. A lot of I think we mentioned it before. You talked about there's no clear cut, absolute top program this year. There's a good few really strong teams
right there. And you look at them. You have Purdue, of course, us. Kansas in that mix. Houston will be in that mix. Tennessee will be in that mix. It'll just be interesting to see how it all plays out. And, just come down to the matchups in March and who's in whose bracket and you know, as we know, people staying healthy and just, you know, everything that comes along with March, the upsets and just how the brackets shake out in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I go back to NBA. We got, we mentioned the ridiculous Memphis thing. I said LeBron is closing in on Wilt Chamberlain's overall career scoring record. Yeah. Other than that, you know there's not much. My Pels are go ahead.
My bad. That's just one. You know, Kareem's had that record for since the 80s.
Kareem, not Wilt, sorry.
And you know, that's not one that you would have, you know, never, you know, people are saying he didn't ever think that was going to fall himself. So, I mean, this has been, you know, just the epic run for LeBron for his career. I mean, just the amount, I mean, just the amount of hype he came into the league with, and just, he was able to go above and beyond that. And not only that, but sustain that for the amount of time that he has. It's just been crazy.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. I remember watching his high school game on ESPN right. back in college. Yeah,
exactly.
But yeah. Yeah, LeBron closing in on Kareem, like you said, not Will. I mentioned in terms of on the court stuff, you know, there's been no big trade yet. Nothing major. The Pels are struggling right now without Zion, Brandon Ingram, and Herb Jones playing limited games. Yeah. I think they've lost like 7 of their last 10 or something like that, and they're in a tight one with Miami today. I'm not sure. They were down like 2 and they're down 4 right now, a little under 4 to go. Tough there. The Nuggets and Grizzlies, because of that, they're kind of pulling away in the West.
Yeah.
From everybody else. Yeah. The Kings are the 3 seed. Talk about a surprise right now.
They have a lot of young
Boston talent still. There. Yeah, they do. That's a really good foundation there. Boston still controlling the East, but maybe worried. Injuries to Marcus Smart and Robert Williams yesterday. Yeah. We'll see how severe they end up being. So, yeah, that's just, yeah, we're kind of waiting for something big to happen in NBA in terms of the trade deadline, a big trade.
Right.
Yeah, to really get going.
Sitting and waiting, seeing what will happen. And that's one thing the NBA has been good for the last couple of years. They've definitely given us something. So,
yeah. We can finish up probably with some quick college football notes. Jim Harbaugh did announce he is returning to Michigan. So he will not be moving to the NFL. That's big for them.
I think this year that was more a ploy to get more money for him. Last year, I really think he was interested in that Vikings job. I don't necessarily think that that was really him pushing to go to the NFL. More so is more the media and maybe his agent pushing the story, maybe get him a little bit more money and Ann Arbor. But.
And we've seen it before. Why not? Spencer Sanders, Oklahoma State quarterback, is transferring to Ole Miss. They have
quite the plethora of quarterbacks. Lane Kiffin just,
yeah, they're just building an armada of quarterbacks there. Jackson Dart's still there. They got recruits coming in.
Brought in LSU guy too.
Yeah, so I don't know if he's, you know, going to have a big competition and the losers are going to transfer out or they're, you know, sticking around or he's going to go the Steve Spurrier method and just
whoever's
play
hot.
3 quarterbacks.
It was ever hot, whatever Saturday.
And then some kind of more interesting than anything news. Ed Reed, about 3 weeks ago, has announced that he would be taking over as coach at Bethune-Cookman, and then now he's not. The university did not ratify his contract, depending on whose side
you're on.
You look at, you know, there's a big heated video of him giving a heated speech to his team and saying that there were forces against it, didn't want it to happen. So maybe a little,
right.
You know, some university presidents or something.
They were originally upset with his video a couple weeks ago as well when he
put up the trash video. Yeah,
and you know that's a one that you don't know. You know, it's one. I guess you look at it from two different ways. You could look at it from his side of man, he's really coming to a situation, and you know, just a lot of those situations are known to be going on in HBCU schools, but not really getting a spotlight. And, you know, that I think that's what some of Dion was trying to do. And You know, seen the game a little of attention, but maybe not the best way to go around it, because at the end of the day, that's still your employer. So you really can't just nationally expose them and expect them to be like, oh, yay. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Probably some, and we'll see. I'm sure a bigger story will come out later, give us some more insight. But I'm sure unfortunate for those kids. Yeah, cause I'm not going to be able to get coached by a legend.
You know? Definitely. I mean, yeah, that's a big, big change. I mean, I'm being recruited possibly by Ed Reed to a guy you probably don't even know.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure that's going to hurt them some in that regard. That's all I had there. Kind of a shorter show this week, unless, Greg, you got something else we missed?
Well, I guess just the NIL stuff, that $13.5 million Florida. Just kind of crazy to see how true that was. What did all that include? And just kind of where this whole situation is going with him. Because, he was in Miami, and then he committed to Florida. And what's going to happen to him next? And you always wonder, how true was that $13.5 million? What all did that include? And because it's, it doesn't look good for Florida. And, schools are going to start looking at this guy like, my goodness, as well.
Yeah, that's an interesting situation right there. Maybe that, what they thought might be the heir apparent to Anthony Richardson there.
And this is a guy that hasn't played yet. Some supposedly getting $13.5 million.
Exactly.
So then you have that opens up too. You have guys that have been stars for a couple of years. What are they going to start demanding or looking at when they, whether they stay at their school or go somewhere else? I think that'll open up some things as well.
Yeah. So, the first transfer portal is closed. We'll get the second signing day here in a few weeks, mm-hmm. and then another transfer portal. Open up, so some offseason stuff still happened. As Alabama fans were still waiting for news on the offensive coordinator situation. Yeah. Technically, Bill O'Brien is out of contract, so
apparently he was taken off the website. Still, I don't know how true that was or not. That's what I've heard. He's not on the school website anymore. I don't know. I haven't.
Yeah, he did have his official interview with the Patriots this week. So
hopefully we will knocked it out the park.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully he was great, and Bill Belichick remembered maybe why he liked him in the first place.
Bring him back, and they could have a lovely relationship, and we can get on to something new.
Yeah, we can move on. All right, so what's been done up real good for you this week?
Done up for me real good this week. I would just say how far my son has come along in school with reading and math and everything in the third grade. It's been a struggle, but he's just come along great. So I'd love to see that. So how about you?
I will keep it, I guess, in the sports world this week. Shout out my boys Arsenal, the Premier League, two big wins, two derby wins. They beat their North London rival Tottenham last week. 2-0, just dominated them, and then a huge last minute win earlier today against Manchester United. 50 points through half of the season, a 5-point lead over Manchester City with a game in hand. Of course, they play them two times in the league coming up and another time in the cup. So it's going to be big. It's hard work, but it's been 20 years since Arsenal won a title, and it seems like it's a real possibility. Nice. This year, so it's just fun to watch regardless. This is a team that fights hard and plays really beautiful soccer. But that should do it for us this week. As always, folks, do check out everything we have to offer on the Alabama Take and our Alabama Take family of podcasts. I'm sure the Alabama Slam will be a must listen for wrestling fans this week with the Royal Rumble next Saturday. Oh, yeah. Big. Always one of our favorite events is we watched at the Tuscaloosa Hooters when they used to show the pay-per-views back in college.
Pretty epic. I mean, you basically just buy a meal and sit there for 4 hours.
Yeah, it was great. I'm sure it sucked for the girls there. I'm sure they weren't making a lot of tips because they weren't turning over tables at all. But it was good fun time for us, except for sitting on those damn bar stools for 4 hours.
By the time you got to that 11 o'clock and then started having to pee and stuff. You're like, my goodness.
Oh, man. The worst was it WrestleMania 20 when it was like a 5 or 6 hour show. That was oh, man. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of back problems developed that day. That the Hooters off of Skyline there in Tuscaloosa. But all right, folks, we will see you next time, man. Greg,
yes, sir.
Take it easy, bud.